Well, unfortunately, you may have heard, if you're standing outside this building, we're having some technical difficulties on our first night. If you heard the miniature atom bomb explode in here, did you guys hear that from out there? The speaker, like, go crazy? Unfortunately, that happened, and we were going to open up in some worship and just some time to really, just to offer this summer to God in worship, and hopefully we might be able to do some of that at the end if we can get some things ironed out. Hopefully you'll have mercy on us for not having that together. And as we prepare that, you guys may want to work a little bit more on these chants, because I was 1 to 10, I was a 5. I mean, there's got to be some togetherness, you know, some momentum. So I'm expecting that next time you guys are together as a team that we really iron those things out, because those are always one of my most favorite things of the entire summer, because I'm a real spiritual person and I like chants a lot. So, Pulse is our theme for the summer. And so tonight, we're going to take a little bit of time of kind of playing that. Any number of things could come to mind if you think about the word pulse. For me, to be honest with you, a lot of things came to your mind as you were thinking about Pulse tonight. I was bouncing around different groups, and there's all kinds of different EKG, and then there was some, what were some of the brainstorms for the team names? Cardiac Attack. For a second, you guys were thinking about calling yourself The Veins, right?
Yeah!
The Veins, that was one that was thrown out there. Someone really liked that. I don't know who that was. For me, to be honest with you, the first thing that comes to my mind when I think about the word pulse was high school football. And we had our conditioning, and then you always have a physical at the end of your conditioning. And every year I would come into conditioning entirely out of shape, and they'd make you, you know, run your wind sprints, and then you have to sit on the other side, and someone would be counting your pulse to make sure it wasn't exploding inside of your body, and that it was safe for you to play football. That was for me. I would read my pulse, and you know, there's different standards in which you measure health. Your pulse is really one of your most critical and yet easy to find vital signs on the body. It's incredibly important to begin the diagnosis. Is this person critically injured? Is there something critically wrong with this individual, or is it okay? And so what I want us to do is just take a second. I want you to find your pulse. Okay, wrist, neck. Some people check their feet. I've actually seen that before. I don't know where it is, but you know, I actually have a scar on my wrist. I think God made it convenient for me where my pulse is. There, everybody find it. Everybody find your pulse. You feel it. Anybody not find their pulse? Anybody just faking it right now? I know somebody's faking it right now. Who's faking it? Nobody's faking it? You can feel your pulse. Great. Mike, we can't. That's okay. If you're the only one, it's all right. So you feel it. You keep feeling it. You may not realize this, but doctors are trained. I email Maggie and I have some doctor friends in Lexington, Kentucky, and they're actually trained to listen and feel for three different things concerning your pulse. Your rate, the rate of your pulse, the rhythm of your pulse, and the strength of your pulse. So they'll, you know, come to you, whether it's a car accident or whether it's a football physical or whether you're just coming in for a checkup, and they're feeling your pulse. And if they're checking your rate, they're checking to see if it's too fast or if it's too slow. Both can be, but aren't always, signs of a diseased heart. They're checking your rhythm. Is it regular? Is it irregular? Heart beats in a regular rhythm is generally healthier than one that beats with an irregular rhythm. They're checking for its strength. And so if you have diabetes or some kind of heart condition, you're not going to be able to feel a pulse in different parts of your body, because your heart isn't strong enough to get the blood all the way down to maybe your feet or your toes. And so maybe if some of you guys have feet that fall asleep real easily, anybody have that? Or, you know, your fingers fall asleep, you lose feeling in them pretty easily. It's because the blood's not getting pumped all the way to the ends of your body. And it's amazing. But doctors, you know, using tools and using stethoscopes, are trained to pick up on just the minor, differences in pulses to understand, okay, what's going on inside this person. They're trained for 4 years. Our friends are now doing their residency outside of, they go through their pre-med classes, their med school, now they're working on their residency. They're trained to pick up on these slight differences to know the health, the physical health of the individual. And how they're trained is they know different standards. They know what to listen for. They know what they're trying to figure out. And so, for instance, your heart rate can range anywhere from 60 to 100, depending on your age or your health. And for some of you right now, for the hike back from Universal Studios, it's probably maxing out. It's probably up at 105 because you hiked, you know, 3 miles already today. Some of you wearing sandals, your legs are swelling up too, because it was such a hike to get over this way. But doctors are able to know if you're healthy or not, at least begin to understand if you're healthy or not, because there's standards in place that can help them read this vital sign of your pulse. This summer, what we want to establish is what is a healthy pulse, a healthy spiritual pulse. We want to create a standard by which you can measure your own heart and know if there's spiritual health. So what I need you to do, I forgot to mention this at the beginning, is open up your notebooks. I think at the in the second tab, there is during the pulse orientation tab, I think that's the second one. You'll see there's an outline. You can follow along and fill in some blanks if you like. It's not a very complex one. It just says pulse on the top of it. You can see it there. So here's what I want you to do once you've found that page. I want you to look at the verse at the top of the page, because here's why we chose this verse to be the theme of our summer, because the prophet Isaiah establishes a standard for what a healthy spiritual heart is in this verse. Listen for it. Isaiah 26:8. In the path of your judgments, O Lord, we wait for you. Your name and your remembrance, or renown as some versions say, is the desire of our soul. That's also translated heart in other versions of the Bible. It's signifying the seat of your life, the seat of your emotions, of your intellect, of your purpose, what's driving you. It's your soul, it's your heart. And if you hear what Isaiah is doing there, he's establishing a standard for a healthy heart. What does he say? That your name and your remembrance or renown are the desire of our heart. He just puts two criteria before us. That's what a spiritual doctor, if you're giving yourself a spiritual checkup, what you need to be listening for if you're checking your pulse is my heart beating for his name and his renown? Am I in a healthy spiritual condition before God? So let me pray for us, and we're going to dive in and take a look at what those two components of a healthy heart are going to look like. Let me pray. Father, we need to know from you if we are spiritually healthy, if we are growing, if our lives are moving towards holiness, moving towards bringing you glory. We need to know if that's happening in our life, or are we wasting our time with just reckless pursuits? And so, God, I pray that tonight you would just establish a standard in our hearts through which we can begin to measure our walks and understand when we're out of sync and when we're not hearing from you, when we're not in rhythm with your heartbeat. We just pray this in Christ's name. Amen. So what does it mean in the verse when it says, his name, ... is the desire of our soul? His name is the desire. What does that mean? What does it mean for someone's name to be the desire of your soul? I mean, is Buddy's name ever been the desire of your soul? Like, do you desire to have the name Buddy? I don't. I mean, I like Brett, not because I don't like Buddy, but I like... So what does it mean to have someone's name be the desire of your soul? Well, it's important to understand two kind of historical contextual truths during that time. The first one is this, is that there were many gods during that time with many different names, okay? You know, you have Baal. You read about some of these gods in the Old Testament. Some of them were religious gods. Some of them were material gods, much like today. There's many gods out there with many different names. The question for us that we need to begin asking ourselves tonight is who is your God? What is it that you're worshiping? What is it that you're giving your life to? Is it your reputation? Is it your security? Is it recognition? Even maybe spiritual recognition? Are you worshiping that? Are you giving your life to material wealth? Are you giving your life to entertainment or to a sport? Are you worshiping the God of approval or success or image? Are you worshiping a God of substance? I mean, what is it that you're worshiping now? What God are you giving your life to? So there's many gods. There's religious gods and there's material gods. Which one are you giving your life to? Is it his name, this God, the one true God being the desire of your heart? Listen to this quote. No people or no person can rise above their concept of God. If we have a faulty view of God, then we suffer in every way because we lack an understanding of what God is like, and therefore, subsequently, what we are supposed to be like. Everything is connected to our understanding of God. There is no more important question to ask than, who is my God? Who is your God? You will never rise above your understanding of who your God is. And so if you're worshiping image, or if you're worshiping success or reputation, that is as far as your life will ever rise to. That's your God. That's as far as you're ever going to go. You might get all the approval, but what is it if you gain the whole world but lose your soul? So that's the first truth. During that time, there's many gods. They were named all kinds of different things. But there was one true God. That was Jehovah. That was Yahweh. That was the Lord. Another truth in that culture, in the Hebrew culture, is that one's name represented their attributes, their nature, who they were. One's name actually represented their personhood. And oftentimes you read about God changing someone's name, right, in the Old Testament, to better fit what God is doing in their life, perhaps. For us, we kind of took that to heart as we were thinking of names for Ellie. For us, we really wanted Ellie to have a legacy to live into, and so we named her after a missionary couple that were pretty influential in our early walks for the Lord. Many of you have heard of Jim and Elizabeth Elliot. Maybe some of you read their biographies or some of Elizabeth Elliot's books. But our desire was that we wanted to give Ellie a legacy, a name that she could live into, that she could be empowered to go after heart, to have a heart for the nations. And her middle name is Grace because we wanted her to love God's grace and be motivated by grace. And it's our prayer that she really does live into that name. The difference is God's name is already who he is. There's no living into his name. His name defines his being. So when that verse says, his name is the desire of our soul, the question is for us, are we worshiping the one true God? And is that causing us to surrender all the other gods in our life? Are we worshiping the one true God? Is it causing us to surrender all the other gods in our life? So in order to have a pulse for his name, we must explore knowing who he is and choosing to worship him over other gods. And I believe that Scripture confirms that. If you knew the true God, if you truly knew his name, it would empower you to lay aside any other potential god that's in your life. Let's look at a few of the verses. I have them up here. 1 Chronicles 16:29 says this. Hopefully you can see that. Ascribe to the Lord the glory due his name. There's glory due to his name. Bring an offering and come before him. Worship the Lord in the splendor of holiness. Psalm 29:2. Again, ascribe to the Lord the glory due his name. What is that saying? If you knew his name, if you knew his being, his personhood, you would be ascribing glory because it's due worship and glory. Psalm 148:13, let them praise the name of the Lord, for his name alone is exalted. His majesty is above the earth and heaven. You guys may be familiar with John 17:3, and this is eternal life, that they know you, the only true God. There's only one true God that's worth knowing. Revelation 15:4, who will not fear, O Lord, and glorify your name? For you alone are holy. For you alone. So this is what we're going to take a look at for the rest of the summer. You guys may or may not have already flipped through some of your notebook. You can look at the table of contents real quickly and notice that each week, what are we exploring? We're exploring an attribute or a name of God. And our hope is that the more and more you come to know this one true God this summer, it will respond with a surrender, letting go of all the other gods in our life, and that our hearts begin to grow, our pulses begin to grow more and more healthy, that his name would be the desire of our heart. So each week, we're going to clip one of those off. I hope we're excited to move through these. We're excited to know more about our God. A.W. Tozer, in a book that we're reading, says, what comes into our minds when we think about God is the most important thing about us. My question, just to throw out to you tonight, is what comes into your mind when you think about your God? What leaps into your head? What about him stands out to you? Whatever that is, that's the most important thing about you. That might be nothing right now. It might just be a blank slate. It's like, gosh, I don't really know who this God is. And that's our hope. You know, maybe it's a fault. Maybe you've been disappointed. So the first thing that pops into your mind is, he seems to have been distant from me for the past week or so. Well, that's the most important thing about you at this point. Whatever is the first thing that comes into your mind when you think about God. Can you honestly say that knowing His name is a desire of your heart? So, and there's two sides to this coin, as the verse points out. To have a pulse for His name results, on the flip side, of having a pulse for His renown. That would be the next point, or His remembrance. His renown or His remembrance, depending on what verse or what translation you're using, you'll find one of those two words, renown or remembrance. Anyone today with talent, let me ask you a question. You can, by show of hands, who here is featured on a video on YouTube? Amazing. You may not really, but you're famous. Lots of people know you in China and maybe Korea and maybe Japan and in Europe. You're on a video in YouTube, and you probably have what? Have you checked? Be honest. Have you checked how many people have watched the video you're on? You haven't? Are you lying? Yeah. Alan? How many people? Yeah, right. You guys are being modest. Anyone these days can become famous. You just throw it on YouTube and all of a sudden you're famous. So regardless of your talent, it can be broadcasted around the world. You can be famous now for being the best at Guitar Hero. We actually have a student on our campus whose little brother was the guy on ESPN's top 10 a few weeks ago, or maybe it was a month ago now, that was the best Guitar Hero player in the world right now. He's in Minnesota. And if you watched, it was on ESPN's top 10. The guy was crazy. But he is now famous for Guitar Hero. I've seen people on YouTube that are now famous for being fast cup stackers. I've seen a now famous snapping turtle catcher. Turtle Man, is that what he's called on YouTube? I've seen him. He's famous. I've seen people famous, and Charlie's real excited about this, children becoming famous for biting their sibling's finger and saying something funny like, oh, Charlie, what does it go? That hurt, Charlie. Yeah, Charlie McIsaac's really excited about that video becoming famous because that's all he hears. People becoming famous. The most famous person for me on YouTube is the dude from, this is a few years back now, this might have been when YouTube was kicked off, but the robot dance guy. I mean, unbelievable. I mean, it just kind of blows your mind. People can become famous for anything. What's significant, though, is that this word renown signifies something different than just a famous kind of a popularity or a fad. What this word in the Hebrew means, the word is zekir, it's Z-E-K-E-R. It signifies a monument or a memorial that will never be forgotten. It can be translated remembrance or memory or memorial. I remember a few years back, I think it was when I was in college maybe, I went to Mexico and visited some Mayan ruins in Chichen Itza, Mexico. And you walk through the ruins and you see so much about the culture. They really do stand as a memorial for that culture. That culture will not be forgotten because those ruins still stand. So what does it mean? Here's the question. What does it mean for His renown to be the desire of your heart? And listen to this. I mean, remember, this is important. I mean, if this doesn't make up your pulse, then how will you ever know if you have a healthy heart for God? If you don't understand what it means for your heart to beat for His name and for your heart to beat for His renown, you won't know if you have a healthy walk with the Lord. We talked about His name. What does it mean to have a healthy heartbeat for His renown? It means this. That in light of who you are, I want you through my life to never be forgotten. I want you through my life to never be forgotten. Do you live for that? Hebrews 11:4b says, though He died through His faith, He still speaks. That's one of my favorite verses in the Bible. It just lists some of the, or it's about to list some of the heroes of the faith. It says, through their life, though He died, though He died through His faith, He still speaks. Will your life stand as a memorial or a monument for God's glory? Do you even desire for that to be true of your life? So, you know, I think it's just kind of a natural progression. Hopefully this summer, as we're learning more and more about His name, the desire of our heart will increasingly desire for our hearts to also beat for His renown. That's true of many things in your life, things that you love, you desire to be known. I love my wife. I think she's great, and so I want you to know how great she is. So you might hear me talk about her all the time. Because the more you love something and learn about it and its glory and its goodness, namely God, the more you're going to desire for it to be known and embraced and loved. And specifically, Scripture takes it a step further, and it tells us not only that His name deserves to be renowned, but it tells us exactly to what extent it deserves to be renowned. And it says so very clearly in Psalm 96:3-4. declare His glory among the nations. That's everywhere. His marvelous works among all the peoples. For great is the Lord, and greatly to be praised. He is to be feared above all gods to the end of the nations. Not just your campus. Not just your family, although those are both great places for God to be renowned. Not just the United States, although our country needs it. But God's name deserves to be renowned to the ends of the earth. To the ends of the earth. Many ask me all the time, Brett, me and Heath were out at City Walk, what was it, two nights ago? Heath sharing with a guy, and he was kind of hinting to us that he would prefer if people kept their religion to themselves and their views on God to themselves. And he's kind of saying, I'm a Christian, but I'm not one of those crazy people who are talking to people about God, which we were doing to him at the time. So he's kind of ripping on us, kind of trying to take our feet out from underneath us. And I stopped him. And remember our conversation, and we said, man, but it's just different. It's different than talking about politics or just religion. I mean, if you understood what our God did for us, you'd understand real clearly why we so desperately want you to know our God. It's just different. If you know your God, you desire for Him to be known. And if you know Him, the more accurately you know Him, the more you desire for Him to be known among the nations, to the ends of the earth. And if they hear about your God, or if they can envision your God, or if they can feel your God, listen to what will happen. Psalm 86, 9 through 10. All the nations you have made shall come and worship before you, O Lord, and shall glorify your name. For you are great and do wondrous things. You alone are God. Listen to what else might happen. Romans 10, 14 through 15. How then shall they call on Him who they've not believed? And how shall they believe in Him who they have never heard? And how now shall they hear without a preacher? And how shall they preach except they be sent? Even as it is written, how beautiful are the feet of them that bring glad tidings of good things. If people catch a glimpse of your God, the Spirit's working in their life, those things coming together, He'll be glorified. He'll be renowned. That's exciting. So if you want to know if you have a healthy heart, it's important that your heart is beating for His name. It's important that the desire of your heart is for His renown. And so the last question I want to answer tonight is, okay, what does a God-centered pulse sound like? What is a God-centered pulse? That's what we want this summer. What's the overarching sound of this God-centered pulse? And I truly believe if you begin to grow in your understanding for His name and you allow it to excite you for His renown, then you have a strong pulse and it begins to sound something like this. That the nations might know. That the nations might know. That the nations might know. It's rhythmic, and it's constant, and it's faithful. That the nations might know. That the nations might know. You deserve to be known throughout the nations. That the nations might know. That's what a healthy heart sounds like. Many of you, if you're thinking correctly, might shrink in your seats a little bit and say, Brett, I want that to be true of my life. But the nations, I mean, let's get serious. Let's be real. I'm a college student in Indiana. How in the world is my life, could my life ever be used to impact the nations? It's not even possible. Many people have done many radical things because they've been driven and compelled by this, and they've gone out and started things and gone to different countries and done all kinds of things. But me, maybe I'm not wired up that way. How can my life be a part of reaching the nations? And thankfully, God does not leave us hanging, but He gives us a model. The model is 2 Timothy 2:2. Does anybody know that? Someone say 2 Timothy 2:2 for me. Yeah, what you have heard from me in the presence of many witnesses, entrust to faithful men who will be able to teach others also. Maybe you're familiar with this concept, maybe you're not, but the concept is multiplication. It's a powerful, powerful concept. One example of just the power of multiplication. Let me read this. There's a story about an emperor of China who was so excited about the game of chess that he offered the inventor of the game one wish. The inventor replied that he wanted one grain of rice on the first square of the chessboard, two grains on the second square, four on the third, and so on through the 64th square. The unwitting emperor agreed to the modest request, but to the 64th power is 18 million trillion grains of rice, more than enough to cover the entire surface of the earth. So if you catch this idea of multiplication, that if you just invest your life deeply into one, and later you both invest into another one, and later all four of you invest into another one, and later all eight of you invest into another one, this whole chess picture, just by 64 blocks, starting with one grain, by the end it covers the entire earth with grains of rice. The end of the story is kind of disappointing. The emperor, realizing that he had been duped, had the inventor of the game beheaded. Okay, but that's beside the point. The point of the story is that the power of multiplication is huge. Let me show you one real life example of one way you can impact the nations. And you guys don't know I'm doing this, and so I hope it doesn't embarrass you too much, but it shouldn't. Ashley McKissick, stand up. Ashley McKissick's one of our team leaders. I'm not going to ask you to do anything. That's the extent of what I'm going to ask you to do, so just stay there. I want you to stand up. If you have come to Christ directly through Ashley, just Ashley alone. So, okay. Exciting, okay. Now, if you're in here and one of these women have led you to Christ, you've been a part of leading Christ, why don't you stand up? Okay, awesome. Is there anyone else that's been impacted by any of these women coming to Christ? And Ashley, I'm trying to think. I remember meeting Sam, what was it, maybe 2 years ago? At the Burns's? So you guys can sit on. So getting to see some multiplication happen in what? 18 months? And there's three generations of women coming to know the Lord? And prayerfully, all of your families will be impacted? And prayerfully, that it won't stop there, but you'll go back to your campuses and your circles of influence and continue to share your faith. And hopefully and prayerfully, some people from this group of women might go to the world and go to the nations. And it's really simple. Ashley shared her faith with some friends. That's it. We have some friends in Brazil this summer. We have some friends in Africa this summer. They just heard the gospel on a college campus that came to Christ, and the gospel is going to the ends of the earth through that. This simple concept of multiplication. So, why do I say all that? If you desire to have a healthy heart, if your heart is healthy and it's beating for the world, you want to be a part of what God's doing, you want to be a part of allowing His name and His renown to go to the ends of the earth, it's really simple. Just this summer, focus on being trained to walk with God and multiply your life. Just to invest your life into someone. That's one of my main prayers for this summer, is that each person on Project would just commit to praying for one man or one woman who doesn't know Christ at this point, but next school year they'll cross paths, and one man or one person that the Spirit's working in, so as you begin to build a relationship and share the gospel, they'll come to receive Christ, and it'll continue. And that you'll take this entire summer with that end in mind. Why? Not so that you can, just lead someone to Christ, but so that God can be glorified to the ends of the earth. I hope that becomes more and more so our motivation. Another prayer I have this summer is that some of you, or some people that you might impact, might actually be some of those individuals that feel like God wants me to go to the world. That's a big part of our summer. We have an entire group of students here, and their desire for being on the summer project is to impact the international students. You can hear more about that are here at this hotel, because they have a desire to impact the world. Some of them have a desire and are making plans to go to the nations after they graduate. And for some of you, as you sit here, you may be freaking out a little bit. It's like, okay, man, it's the first day. That's pretty intense. I don't know about that. That's kind of freaky. That's fine. That's fine. But I do know this, Matthew 24:14 says this. And this gospel of the kingdom must be proclaimed throughout the whole world as a testimony to all the nations, and then the end will come. And God is calling you and me to be a part of that in some way. I just want you to ask this question tonight, maybe as we're worshiping some here in a little bit. Is, Lord, I want to be a part. How can I be a part? How do I need to invest my time this summer to be a part of your name and your renown going to the nation? Will you strengthen my pulse for your name and your renown so that I desire for it to go to the nations. I told you a little bit about our friends that are doctors in Lexington, and she said, you know, the three things they look for when they're checking someone's pulse is its rate, its rhythm, and its strength. And she also said one last thing she's checking for. She says this. I just quoted her little email I got from her. My biggest fear is being called to see a patient who doesn't have a pulse. Pulseless electrical activity. In that situation, we initiate a code 500 or a code blue where we try to get the pulse back. We immediately do chest compressions, push IV medications to jumpstart the heart and defib, shock the heart based on the kind of rhythm generated from the medications. Every few minutes we stop, reassess, someone asks, do we have a pulse? If yes, we stop, we don't have to go any further. If no, we continue the code. This is my greatest fear. Pull someone in, their heart stopped, no pulse. They flatlined. I just pray that this summer, if nothing else, jumpstarts your heart with a steady pulse that begins to grow for His name and His renown. That your heart and your pulse becomes alive with God's heart and His pulse. And not only alive, but in alignment with God's heart and His pulse. Why? So that the nations might know. So that the nations might know, that His glory may go to the nations. And it's just this constant, the nations might know. The nations might know. God, will you help me learn to multiply my life that the nations might know? You deserve nothing less. Let me pray for us. Father, I am so excited about this summer. Father, I'm excited because I know that nothing would bring you more pleasure than to reveal yourself to us, your true self, your name, your being, your attributes to us in such a powerful way that it compels us to desire for you to be known and remembered, to make our lives monuments of your glory to the ends of the earth. Would you begin that process tonight in our hearts? We just pray this in Christ's name.